Good morning. My first time to go to Haiti was in 2009, and Jordan's first time was in 2010. And I have to say that on every trip we ever went on, we learned something. It's been a lot of water under the bridge, a lot of lessons learned. And so Jordan has got this new adventure that they've started, and she wants to tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so as you can see on the screen, this is a new house, and I will still live where I've lived for the past year, but this is the house that Rebecca and I have rented, and we will be creating our own nutrition center. So it's really exciting news. We've been working in another nutrition center for almost 2 years, and so we're really looking forward to getting back to Haiti, and using this house as the new nutrition center where we will run all of our programs, do our outpatient care, and all of those things. So we're very excited.
So, what's your new ministry going to be called?
Okay, there's a slide coming up, and it has our new name. We're going to be called Potter and Clay Ministries. And so that's something we're really excited about.
I like that name. How did y'all come up with that?
Okay, so as you can see the verse on the screen, the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And when we were coming up with this name, we were just really kind of saying, like, Lord, are you sure that you want us to step out? Because I'm not sure. And so it was kind of one of those things where we felt like the Lord just said, this is what I'm doing. And so we were like, okay, that's what we'll do. And also, I feel like it's applicable to the ministry because we get these people who are these moms and babies who are in the most destitute of situations. And so I think they're very vulnerable at that point, kind of how we feel sometimes at our lowest point. And we want to be a part of shaping them for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, and that their life means something in eternity. And so that's kind of one of those things. As y'all know, my mom passed away in October, and I feel like one of the biggest things was those people who spoke truth to me. And I feel like Dad was a huge one, just somebody who spoke truth into that awful time of scripture, of, you know, what the Bible says, what the Lord's done in his life. He's a great example, and other friends also. But I think that before that time, I didn't have a point of reference for a truly low time. I didn't know what real pain was like. And so I think it kind of gives me like a way to relate to these people. And I think about what the Lord did through people in my life. And like, I can only hope to be a person who does the same thing at really low times in other people's life. So that's how we came up with it. All that to say.
I like it. So what's one of your favorite parts of this type of ministry?
So, as you'll see on the slide, it's upside down. Oh, goodness. Well, if y'all can turn y'all's head, I don't know how that happened, but you can see she's now on the right side. Let me make sure I get that right. This is a baby who weighed about 6 pounds at 3 or 4 months old when she came. And you can see on the picture on your left that even though she's upside down, she's clearly visibly chunkier and visibly she's smiling, she's happy, she's healthy. And so I would say that one of my most favorite parts about, I can see y'all's heads kind of going like this, it's pretty funny. One of my most favorite things about this ministry is just seeing the transformation that happens.
So, how does this ministry affect the moms or the caregivers of the babies?
Okay, and like you'll see in the next slide, we're going to see a picture of this baby's mom. Okay, good. Y'all can see her right side up. Y'all don't have to turn y'all's heads. You can see that mom. This is obviously after, and like, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. When I was putting these two pictures together, I called Rebecca and I said, "Do I have these right? Are these the same kid?" And I just don't want to tell a lie to all these people who've loved and supported me. And she was like, "Yes, Jordan." And you can see in the picture on the right, she looks like her mom, but you couldn't tell when she was malnourished. And so you can see the smile that the mom has. She's happy to hold her up, happy to have her picture taken. And I would say just the effect of, you know, that feeling of not having any hope. And I was telling Tammy when we were talking about this, I mean, there are moms that do not name their babies because they don't know if they're going to make it. And so when you see those walls come down and that smile comes out and they feel encouraged and supported and loved and have hope again, this is, I would say, how it affects. And also, just the education that they get while they're with us is a big thing because it allows them to take ownership and pride in their ability to be a great mother. And so that's another thing that I would say, hygiene, education, all those things that strengthen them to do their job very well.
So do y'all follow up? Do you continue a relationship with these moms or caregivers?
Okay, as you'll see in a pretty funny picture in the next one, what you see on the right is the road that Rebecca and I were attempting to do a follow-up visit on. And so I don't know how well y'all can tell, but it is rough. And you see the selfie of me and Rebecca, and in the picture on the right, you can kind of see her arm there. We had to get off the motorcycle and walk up the hill because Rebecca was about to have a panic attack, and we didn't think we were going to make it. So we got off and walked. And I know people who have been before, they could kind of tell y'all, we live in the middle of nowhere. But, like, where we were going, I would say, is the middle of nowhere in the middle of nowhere. And so that's just one of those things that after they come to us, after 2 weeks of leaving the nutrition center, and then 6 weeks up, we do a follow-up visit where we evaluate, okay, hygiene, sanitation, where do they go to the bathroom? Do they have space for gardening? What are they sleeping on? What kind of roof is their house in? How far away is water? Is it clean water when they do get it? And so all those type of environmental factors that just we can look at to kind of determine the baby's health and the future and what follow-up and relapse chances for relapse look like.
So what ways are y'all involved in the community?
Okay, the picture coming up, you'll see this is a group shot of us, and it's really funny. It was freezing cold that day. You can see we have on jackets. These are the moms and caregivers who are in our formula program. And so what that means is that either these are the moms that couldn't breastfeed for some number of reasons, or it was an aunt or a grandmother, or if the mom had passed away, they take in these babies. And so what happens is they come once a week and to get formula, because if not, then they resort to things that are not healthy for the baby. And so for us, community outreach, that's how we found most of these moms. We go and do weighing sessions in the community where we're evaluating moms. And I think about they come and get their babies weighed, and I think about us not being able to weigh our baby to know if they're progressing or not. And I just think about how that really sticks out in my mind. But that there was one of these moms, the baby was clearly so sick, and her hair was falling out, it was just a really bad situation, and we were like, well, have you been able to breastfeed? And she said no, and we were like, well, can you get formula? And she was like, no, I've been giving her carrot juice and sugar water. And so they were like, we're just trying to keep her alive. And so we were like, drop what you're doing, come with us. And so that's kind of the situations that we find, and that's this group of women who, these babies were graduating, they reached 12 months, which is a really big deal. So we're very excited about that.
So since you've been in Haiti, what's been one of your biggest challenges?
I would definitely say lack of resources and just lack of education. And as you'll see in the next picture, the baby on the left, her name was Netiana, and she was a month and a half old in this picture, and her mom came because she hadn't been to the bathroom in 15 days. And when she brought her in, I mean, you know, you can see, like, when we unwrapped her blankets and all those type of things, we were like, oh, good. I mean, she was so dehydrated. You can't tell in the picture, but her skin was just flaking, and it was just a really, really sad situation that, I mean, we didn't know if she was going to make it. And so this mom was a great mom. I mean, I feel like that's important for me to say. She cared so much, and her heart was breaking. And she came 3 hours on a motorcycle to get to where we are one way. And she was just broken over this baby, but she didn't know what to do, and she didn't know where to go. And then just to give you kind of a idea of what these moms are facing, this is the road that all the people that have been to Haiti know exactly where this is. Our house is to the left, kind of where you can see it curve off. And so, like, I think about us getting through this. And it's, you know, kind of like, oh, well, we have to go through the mud, and it's really nasty. But I think about holding that baby and having to go through that 3 hours to get to help. And that kind of puts it in perspective of, like, what these moms are facing. And it's so difficult. I mean, it's so hard. And I think that just education is a big one, because you want to say, why did you wait? You know, but if no one ever told you and no one's ever equipped you, then how can you know? And so that's one of the things that goes back to community outreach, that we want to be in the community and just getting the word out there that there's a place that can help and that there's a response to these type of really, really big challenges in Haiti. So,
okay, so has anything made it easier for y'all?
Okay, so this is one I'm very proud of, and Jason knows what's coming. I saw his face light up. This was, we purchased this Polaris in January, and I wanted to show it to y'all because I'm so happy, but it's just been something that's made life a lot easier for those situations where when we get a call and they say, you know, we have a baby, can you come? And we can say, yes, safely we can, and we're not getting off of motorcycles and walking up hills and all those types of things. And so, and then also for the nutrition center, when you're going through 25 pound sacks of rice, sugar, flour, and we used to strap them to the back of motorcycles. And so that's been a huge answer to prayer, and we're just so, so thankful for that blessing. Okay, y'all can go on to the next slide. This is just a picture that I wanted to show y'all, just kind of what we're able to do. This story is so very sad. When this baby came, he had worms very, very, very bad. I won't go into any details, but he lives on a dirt floor at that roof, just the worst of situations. And so we kind of said, all right, in this new step in our ministry, what can we do to prevent relapse? I mean, because that's what you see. These parents come, they get better, and then they go home to the exact same situation that they were in before, where the malnutrition happened. And so we said, you know, going forward, what's something we can change about that? And so obviously education. So in our new program, the changes that we're going to make, we'll have hygiene education, nutrition education, and then also we want to do small business training. So that doesn't necessarily mean these people are going to be able to, like, get rich quick or anything like that, but we want to give them strength and dignity to be able to put food on their own table. We don't want to play into the cycle of dependence, and we don't want them coming to us and saying, okay, but we're hungry this week. We want to give the parents the tools to be able to put food on their table. And so we realize what a big undertaking that is. I would definitely say, I mean, when you're working with people who've lived day to day and some days not eaten, I mean, it's hard, the concept of business and saving money and those things, but through small businesses, teaching them how to buy the larger sacks of sugar, flour, rice, helping them get started and then resell it to make a profit. Also through livestock, goats, chickens, sheep, all those things, and then also gardening education, to where they can sell what they can grow to change it for things that are nutritionally better for their children, and all those types of things. So that's kind of this mom. She was the best example of a transformation I could show y'all, but they were unfortunately going back to the situation that landed them in the nutrition center. And so going forward, instead of creating the cycle of dependency, we really want to move them to giving them their dignity back. And so this is kind of where we're at for our startup budget.
So where are y'all at financially? You still need help?
We've been working in a different nutrition center that was already established. So as y'all can imagine, stepping out on our own, new building, and literally starting from scratch, we are in need of our startup budget. So the good news is we've already raised $7,400, which is a huge answer to prayer. But it just goes to purchase these things that make having a nutrition center possible. One of the really big ones is solar panels, batteries, and the solar controller and the inverter, because without those things, we have no refrigeration to hold the rehydration formula, just all those things that make having a well-functioning nutrition center possible.
So if we can't help financially, are there other ways or things that we can do to help?
Yes, there are. So you can see that's a picture of me and Rebecca sitting with one of the moms. And these are just a few of the things that we always need. bottles, the most simple bottles are the best kind because there's less pieces to clean and less pieces to sanitize, which makes our job a little bit easier. And for people who go home with bottles, that we can trust that they're being sanitized properly. Cloth diapers, baby formula, and then also just dry milk is something else that we need a lot that's very expensive in Haiti. So,
okay, so how can we keep in touch with y'all?
Alrighty, well, we're so excited. We feel like we're a little bit more official because we have a website now. And so this is the website if y'all want to just jot it down or go to it in your phone real fast so you can look at it later. And here you can find information about monthly sponsorships, one-time donations, also newsletter sign-up. That's something I would just love for y'all to do. I know a lot of y'all have signed up already, either leaving your email on my Facebook or you might have already been on the one before, but we really would love to keep in touch with y'all and just be able to let y'all know everything that's going on.
Okay, sounds good. And we're going to try to be getting another team together, so anybody that might be interested needs to be praying about it.
Thank y'all so much just for listening and for hearing me out. And y'all have been so supportive just to our family through everything that we've been through. And just I just want to say thank y'all so very much.
And now we're going to the other side of the world and see the extreme opposite of what we just saw. But guess what? The need is still the same. So I'm going to change gears now, and I'm going to ask you to put up the first little video. This is actually on the airplane. People will ask, you know, about the size of the plane and all of those type things. And so I just made a very quick video. You can see as you scan around, those planes are huge. Huge. The one over there to from San Francisco to the first town we went to didn't have a lot of people on it. The one coming back, every seat was taken, and we flew all the way to Chicago. It was terrible. I'll just put it like that, just in case. And if you're wondering what you do, put the next picture up here. On those seats in front of you, on those international flights, if you look at the top, you can see North America, and it has the little line that goes over. It shows you where you are in the process. And so it tells you how many hours to where you get to where you go. And you just literally sit for about 13 hours and just watch that plane go across, waiting to finally get there and land. The first city we went to was a city called Hangzhou, and I always jokingly said we don't want to change that to Hang Jeff, but it was Hangzhou. And we were at a place called Westlake, and this was an unbelievable, beautiful place. There were actually a million more people in this city than live in New York City. It was a huge city, and this lake was a very popular destination for people. A lot of people in the Chinese cities would come here to vacation, and we were there on a Friday afternoon walking around that lake, and you can put up the next picture. You'll see how that this place was immaculately landscaped, the entire city was. And the night that we were out there on a Friday, I would say that there were probably 300,000 people at that lake. It was just amazing. You put the next one up. This is Kylie. This is a guy I went with. They only send teams of two in because if you go in a bigger group, it causes too much problems and don't want to get anybody in trouble. You can show the next picture. It's hard to imagine a city entirely landscaped like that, but those flowers, they were absolutely everywhere. And if you look at the next picture, you will see what I'm talking about when I say the opposite of where Jordan was. That's Ferrari and Maserati. You should have seen those cars. I mean, it was unbelievable to see cars that cost $500,000, $600,000, and $700,000. And that's the affluence of where we were. And what I realized was that capitalism is alive and well in a communist country. That they were doing quite well there, the ones that were. This was a meal we ate the first week that we were there. We actually ate with the people, And in this particular place, this was a real, they ate a lot of the same foods that we ate. There was quite a few of those things. If you could see that picture, you would be able to tell. But the one thing that I was noticed most about the Chinese people, they don't know what real Chinese food is. They need to come over here so they can find out what real Chinese food is. But the second town we went to was down by the beach, and basically when we went down there, everything we ate came out of the ocean, as a general rule. And what I've told people is, if you've ever walked along the beach after a storm, and there's all that stuff washes up on the beach, if you want to know what it tastes like, go over there, because that's exactly what they eat. But most of the food was really good. Most of it was. Some of it was just like, oh, I don't know. They drink boiling water. Like when they eat, the water that they give you to drink is like so hot you can't touch the glass. They think it's good for your digestive system. And in both places, they ate this plant that was bitter. And like when you pick it up with your chopsticks, they'll say, that's bitter. And you put it in your mouth and you say, that's bitter. And they say, we know, but it's good for, they think it's good for their digestive system, so they eat it. I just finally And probably the thing that was the most shocking that we ate oyster pancakes. They literally had cut the oysters up into little bitty chunks and put them into pancakes and made them. Oh, it was pretty good. I mean, you just have to be there. But the food, like I said, the food was good. One night after we had been there, like the whole 2 weeks, we decided we were going to eat pizza. And it was, we go in this place and, you know, I'm thinking pepperoni. That's kind of what I like. And the choices were things like shrimp and mashed potato. It's like, no, that ain't pizza, man. So that's when you know it's time to come on. But they eat some weird combinations of food. But the only thing, has anybody here ever had tofu? Yes. There's one yes. Kylie, that guy in that picture, that dude can eat anything. And in that culture, if they offer you something and you don't eat it, like, it's worse than, like, spitting in their face. It is a grave insult. And, I mean, that Kylie could turn that bowl up and shovel it in. But there was some tofu with some soybeans in it, and I was like, I love Jesus and I love y'all, but I'm just going to play in this. And it was terrible. But it That's a picture on the train. When we changed cities, we went from one train to another. That says 290 kilometers. That is moving. The fastest that we got up to was actually 309 kilometers. And what's amazing is when you pass a train going in the other direction, and these were long trains, but you're going one way at about 220 miles an hour, and they're going the other, you would feel it, but you never would really know that it was there, is how fast those trains were going. This was the only time that we had a negative experience in the entire thing. In that language, apparently, they have like 80,000 characters that they use. And apparently, the difference between south and north is one little thing in Chinese. And when we got to the train station at the second city, we got off, and there was no one there to meet us. So we get off the train, we've got our bags, and we go out, and there's nobody there. And I know two words of Chinese, and I don't think I knew them then. And we're standing there, and there's nobody there. This was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or yeah, something like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was 3 o'clock in the morning here, and so we couldn't call back to find somebody, and we had no way of getting in touch with anybody. And after we had kind of had that look for about an hour, people started wanting to help us, but they didn't speak English, and so they were trying to get us to go with them, and we're like, probably not a good idea. And so we wind up getting in a cab with somebody that we didn't know, that didn't speak English, that didn't really know where we wanted to go, and we took a tour of that city. But the problem that we had was, we could look the website of the hotel up, but it was in English. Guess what? Nobody there reads English. And that was quite the experience. I'll just tell you, if you've never shown up in a country that you don't speak the language, expecting someone to be there, and they're not there, and you realize all the problem that had, and one day the Lord's going to lead me to preach an evangelistic sermon, and y'all going to hear this again. But imagine, you think it's bad in China, and nobody there to meet you, wait till you step into eternity, and there's nobody there waiting to meet you. But that was a full experience. So, if you look at the next picture, you'll see here, this was out the place that we wound up staying. Someone finally found us, the missionary that finally found us about 4 hours later said that was the worst day of his missionary career when he couldn't find us in that city of 8 or 9 million people. But if you look at the next picture, this is the actual place that we stayed. And there was a lady there, her and her family own a seafood business, and we were staying in an apartment on the top floor, or right at the very top of that building. That's where we actually stayed, and we were able to walk to the place that we were doing the training. One of the neatest things that I saw, being a former landscaping person, there was a tree there that they said, we went up in the mountains, and they said that tree was 600 years old. You should have seen that thing. That thing was almost worth a trip going over there for just to see it. And I didn't put their little temple where they worship the thing in there. I gave you a picture without all that. But that was one of the neatest things that I saw. This next little video, this is just a very brief. We were up on a mountain. And this is a very brief, very, very brief little video of just how amazingly beautiful it is when you get up in those mountains. And we were probably about an hour from this next little video. If you'll go ahead and play this one. This was out the apartment there, and every one of those buildings that you see there are apartment buildings. And each one of those buildings have thousands of people that live in them. And it is very difficult to explain to someone from Rankin County how many people there were in these cities. I mean, these things were amazing. And almost everybody, this is what you faced every time you tried to get out in the street. I mean, every time you went out into the street, that's what you faced. And what's funny is, those things are not supposed to even be on the street. But you cannot, if those people were all in cars, it would be impossible to get around. It would just be complete and total gridlock. And then this was a video crossing the street. This wasn't at rush hour. That was our translator, by the way. Oh, he just said there's 800,000 scooters in that city. And we're just waiting to cross the street. I can narrate. We don't need sound. And basically, I was telling him that there was more people crossing that street than attend our church. Well, anyway, there were a lot of cars, and there were a lot of people right there. This is our actual teaching. This was the second week. If you can tell, all the curtains are closed. There was a camera on the door. And basically what we did was, in both cities, we taught the same material. We taught it at one place, and then we went to the other city and did the same teaching again. And when you're actually in there all day with that little bitty room with all those people, that's just one little sliver, but you're in there with all of those people, and then there's that camera on the door. By the time you actually get out of there, like 3 days of that was about all I could stand. I really had a strong desire to be outside and to not be with all those, all that secrecy. And if you look at this next picture, these are the last two. And the reason I wanted to show you that, this is called the English Corner. And you can't see, there's a lady there. Her name is Rose. And they're sitting around, and you can't tell, but they've all got their Bibles out. And they're in a public place, and they're doing a Bible study. And you think, why in the world would you make a picture of that? In China, it is illegal to share the gospel with anyone under the age of 18. And the fact that there are people who say, I don't care, and I'm going to do it anyway. And it was really phenomenal to be with them. And then the video, do you have the sound on it, Tim? We'll see. This was the last thing before we left. I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah.
Tim, you can stop it. You can stop it. Hey, I just wanted you to hear that first. They're English. Yeah, they're English. But the fact that they would do that in a public place is pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. And when we were with them, I was struck by the fact that they've made the decision that they're going to serve the Lord. I mean, that's the decision that they've made. And there are countless millions of people in those cities. And you get over there, and statistically, they say that by 2030, China will have more Christians than any other nation. Well, it's not because they're all Christian. It's because there's so many of them. There are just people on top of people on top of people in those cities. And they all are going to spend eternity somewhere. When I was thinking about a verse that the Lord wanted me to share today, I just want to read to you John chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you." You know, one of the things that when I prayed about the vision that the Lord had for Grace Baptist Church and the different things, that was one of the verses that the Lord gave me. And all of us has to realize that we've all been sent. We all have a ministry, we all have a mission, and we all have things to do. And before we go into these examples, the one thing that I wished that we could agree on is this: I will not tell the Lord no. You know how many times, like China, just like that word would come up, and people don't say, "Well, I'm going to pray about that," or "I'm going to this." You know what they say? "I ain't doing that." And it's like, why not? I don't want to. And when we do that, we're closing God completely out. Now, you should not go to China unless God calls you to China. I'll tell you that for sure. You shouldn't go do anything unless God has called you. But if God is not calling you to go somewhere, then you need to understand there's something wrong with your Christianity. Right? Y'all were supposed to say amen. I didn't sense a lot of agreement there. Right? Amen. Thank you, Bob. Anyway, we want to go. And that's part of what the deacons at CARD. Did y'all get your card about the 17th and about the projects and the needs that we're going to try to meet? Y'all were supposed to, yeah, I see some head shaking. Yes, good. Listen, if you know somebody that has a need, please let us help them. If you have a need, please let us help you. Because when Jesus said go, he didn't say to China. He didn't say to Haiti. He just said go. And if you know of a person that has a need that we as a church can meet, we're going to meet as many of those needs as we can on the 17th. And so please, please sign up. As a church, one of the things that I hope that we can do, Jimmy and I have talked about this as chairman of the deacons, he and I have talked about this, hopefully we can do a one-day mission trip this summer and find something that we as a church can do to be a blessing to somebody else. Because we want these children that grow up in Grace Baptist Church, we want them to grow up thinking, "I'm supposed to go." And if they grow up thinking, "I'm supposed to go," and they think that because of what Jesus said, but then as the example that we've set for them, then we'll have a tremendous opportunity. And one of the things that I've asked many of you to read the book, and I know some of you have, I'm sure not everybody has, but the book is called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. And when you read that book, the one thing that those churches have in common is all of their ministry turned inward. And when it turned inward, it just becomes a structure that's going to collapse on itself. And what we're going to do is we're going to be people that's going to go. We're going to get out there and we're going to go because the Lord told us to. And we're going to do what Jesus told us to do. Now, we're going to close out today. And Ryan, we'll do one verse of an invitation. just in case someone needs to make a public decision, something you need to share with us. And what I want to ask you to do is, I'm not putting you on the clock, but I know that today is not a message that lends itself to a decision. And so we're going to do one verse of an invitation. Like I said, if you need to make a decision, you do that. But I just want to say it like this, and boy, I have the hardest time. People say you're supposed to communicate, and so I try, like, to communicate with people, and then my family says, but you can't say it like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm going to give y'all a quick example. I needed a load of dirt, and so I called this guy, and I told him I need a load of dirt. But have you ever, anybody in here ever bought a load of topsoil and it was filled with roots? Yeah, me and Smokey, Charles, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I thought that me and this guy should have an understanding. And I just thought the best thing for me to do was communicate with him. And so I said to him, just so we won't have a misunderstanding, if you bring a load of dirt out here and it's got roots in it and you dump it out, it's probably going to take you 3 days to shovel it back on your truck, but you ain't leaving it here. I thought that was just like a good way to just have an understanding. I don't want roots in my yard, and every time it rains, you got to pick up roots, right, Smokey? And then you pick them up, and it rains, you got to pick up roots. So he wouldn't bring me the dirt. So then I had to finally call him back and say, listen, I'm not the devil. I just don't want to have a misunderstanding. And then he brought me the dirt, and it didn't have roots in it. And I gave him his money, and he was happy, and I was happy. And Joe came and spread it out for me, and I was really happy. So what I'm about to say, if you are a member of Grace Baptist Church, we're going to do what Jesus said, and we're going to go. Right? And if you don't want to go, then you need to ask the Lord, why would he tell you to do something, and then you feel like you don't have to do it. Right? And so we got to do what Jesus said. And I'm not trying to tell you, you know, it's going to take you 3 days to shove it back on the truck, but we got to do what Jesus said. And the world is not dying, but for any other reason, then we won't do what Jesus said. So we got to do what Jesus said. So if you are a member of Grace Baptist Church, now you don't. But if you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, we're going to expect you to go. And if you're not going to go, then, right? Because Jesus told us what to do, and we got to do what Jesus said. Right? Right? Right. Amen. Father God, we love you. And God, we have got to do what Jesus said. And Lord, so many times we don't do what Jesus said, and then we wonder what's the problem. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go into this invitation, Lord, just remind us, Lord, all we got to do is have faith. All we got to do is just take you at your word, do what you said, and just leave the results to you. And God, I pray that as you just touch our heart, remind us of this truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Just kind of what we're able to do. This story is so very sad. When this baby came, he had worms very, very, very bad. I won't go into any details, but he lives on a dirt floor at that roof, just the worst of situations. And so we kind of said, all right, in this new step in our ministry, what can we do to prevent relapse? I mean, because that's what you see. These parents come, they get better, and then they go home to the exact same situation that they were in before, where the malnutrition happened. And so we said, you know, going forward, what's something we can change about that? And so obviously education. So in our new program, the changes that we're going to make, we'll have hygiene education, nutrition education, and then also we want to do small business training. So that doesn't necessarily mean these people are going to be able to like get rich quick or anything like that, but we want to give them strength and dignity to be able to put food on their own table. We don't want to play into the cycle of dependence, and we don't want them coming to us and saying, okay, but we're hungry this week. We want to give the parents the tools to be able to put food on their table. And so we realize what a big undertaking that is. I would definitely say, I mean, when you're working with people who've lived day to day and some days not eaten. I mean, it's hard, the concept of business and saving money and those things, but through small businesses, teaching them how to buy the larger sacks of sugar, flour, rice, helping them get started and then resell it to make a profit. Also through livestock, goats, chickens, sheep, all those things, and then also gardening education, to where they can sell what they can grow to change it for things that are nutritionally better for their children, and all those types of things. So that's kind of this mom. She was the best example of a transformation I could show y'all, but they were unfortunately going back to the situation that landed them in the nutrition center. And so going forward, instead of creating the cycle of dependency, we really want to move them to giving them their dignity back. And so this is kind of where we're at for our startup budget.
So where are y'all at financially? You still need help?
We've been working in a different nutrition center that was already established. So as y'all can imagine, stepping out on our own, new building, and literally starting from scratch, we are in need of our startup budget. So the good news is we've already raised $7,400, which is a huge answer to prayer. But it just goes to purchase these things that make having a nutrition center possible. One of the really big ones is solar panels, batteries, and the solar controller and the inverter, because without those things, we have no refrigeration to hold the rehydration formula, just all those things that make having a well-functioning nutrition center possible.
So if we can't help financially, are there other ways or things that we can do to help?
Yes, there are. So you can see that's a picture of me and Rebecca sitting with one of the moms. And these are just a few of the things that we always need. Bottles, the most simple bottles are the best kind because there's less pieces to clean and less pieces to sanitize, which makes our job a little bit easier. And for people who go home with bottles, that we can trust that they're being sanitized properly. Cloth diapers, baby formula, and then also just dry milk is something else that we need a lot that's very expensive in Haiti. So,
okay, so how can we keep in touch with y'all?
Alrighty, well, we're so excited. We feel like we're a little bit more official because we have a website now. And so this is the website if y'all want to just jot it down or go to it in your phone real fast so you can look at it later. And here you can find information about monthly sponsorships, one-time donations, also newsletter sign-up. That's something I would just love for y'all to do. I know a lot of y'all have signed up already, either leaving your email on my Facebook or you might have already been on the one before. But we really would love to keep in touch with y'all and just be able to let y'all know everything that's going on.
Sounds good. And we're going to try to be getting another team together, so anybody that might be interested needs to be praying about it.
Thank y'all so much just for listening and for hearing me out. And y'all have been so supportive just to our family through everything that we've been through. And just I just want to say thank y'all so very much.
And now we're going to the other side of the world and see the extreme opposite of what we just saw. But guess what? The need is still the same. So I'm going to change gears now, and I'm going to ask you to put up the first little video. This is actually on the airplane. People will ask, you know, about the size of the plane and all of those type things. And so I just made a very quick video. You can see as you scan around, those planes are huge. Huge. The one over there to from San Francisco to the first town we went to didn't have a lot of people on it. The one coming back, every seat was taken, and we flew all the way to Chicago. It was terrible. I'll just put it like that, just in case. And if you're wondering what you do, put the next picture up here. On those seats in front of you, on those international flights, if you look at the top, you can see North America, and it has the little line that goes over. It shows you where you are in the process. And so it tells you how many hours to where you get to where you go. And you just literally sit for about 13 hours and just watch that plane go across, waiting to finally get there and land. The first city we went to was a city called Hangzhou, and I always jokingly said we don't want to change that to Hang Jeff, but it was Hangzhou. And we were at a place called Westlake, and this was an unbelievable, beautiful place. There were actually a million more people in this city than live in New York City. It was a huge city, and this lake was a very popular destination for people. A lot of people in the Chinese cities would come here to vacation, and we were there on a Friday afternoon walking around that lake, and you can put up the next picture. You'll see how that this place was immaculately landscaped, the entire city was. And the night that we were out there on a Friday, I would say that there were probably 300,000 people at that lake. It was just amazing. You put the next one up. This is Kylie. This is a guy I went with. They only send teams of two in, because if you go in a bigger group, it causes too much problems and don't want to get anybody in trouble. You show the next picture. It's hard to imagine a city entirely landscaped like that, but those flowers, they were absolutely everywhere. And if you look at the next picture, you will see what I'm talking about when I say the opposite of where Jordan was. That's Ferrari and Maserati. You should have seen those cars. I mean, it was unbelievable to see cars that cost $500,000, $600,000, and $700,000. And that's the affluence of where we were. And what I realized was that capitalism is alive and well in a communist country. That they were doing quite well there, the ones that were. This was a meal we ate the first week that we were there. We actually ate with the people. And in this particular place, this was a real, they ate a lot of the same foods that we ate. There was quite a few of those things. If you could see that picture, you would be able to tell. But the one thing that I was noticed most about the Chinese people, they don't know what real Chinese food is. They need to come over here so they can find out what real Chinese food is. But the second town we went to was down by the beach, and basically when we went down there, everything we ate came out of the ocean, as a general rule. And what I've told people is, if you've ever walked along the beach after a storm and there's all that stuff washes up on the beach, if you want to know what it tastes like, go over there, because that's exactly what they eat. But most of the food was really good. Most of it was. Some of it was just like, oh, I don't know. They drink boiling water. Like when they eat, the water that they give you to drink is like so hot you can't touch the glass. They think it's good for your digestive system. And in both places, they ate this plant that was bitter. And like when you pick it up with your chopsticks, they'll say, that's bitter. And you put it in your mouth and you say, that's bitter. And they say, we know, but it's good for, they think it's good for their digestive system, so they eat it. I just finally And probably the thing that was the most shocking that we ate oyster pancakes. They literally had cut the oysters up into little bitty chunks and put them into pancakes and made them. Oh, it was pretty good. I mean, you just have to be there. But the food, like I said, the food was good. One night after we had been there, like the whole 2 weeks, we decided we were going to eat pizza. And it was, we go in this place and, you know, I'm thinking pepperoni. That's kind of what I like. And the choices were things like shrimp and mashed potato. It's like, no, that ain't pizza, man. So that's when you know it's time to come on. But they eat some weird combinations of food. But the only thing, has anybody here ever had tofu? Yes. There's one yes. Kylie, that guy in that picture, that dude can eat anything. And in that culture, if they offer you something and you don't eat it, like, it's worse than, like, spitting in their face. It is a grave insult. And, I mean, that Kylie could turn that bowl up and shovel it in. But there was some tofu with some soybeans in it, and I was like, I love Jesus and I love y'all, but I'm just going to play in this. And it was terrible. But it That's a picture on the train. When we changed cities, we went from one train to another. That says 290 kilometers. That is moving. The fastest that we got up to was actually 309 kilometers. And what's amazing is when you pass a train going in the other direction, and these were long trains, but you're going one way at about 220 miles an hour, and they're going the other, you would feel it, but you never would really know that it was there, is how fast those trains were going. This was the only time that we had a negative experience in the entire thing. In that language, apparently, they have like 80,000 characters that they use, and apparently the difference between south and north is one little thing in Chinese. And when we got to the train station at the second city, we got off, and there was no one there to meet us. So we get off the train, we've got our bags, and we go out, and there's nobody there. And I know two words of Chinese, and I don't think I knew them then. And we're standing there, and there's nobody there. This was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or yeah, something like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was 3 o'clock in the morning here, and so we couldn't call back to find somebody, and we had no way of getting in touch with anybody. And after we had kind of had that look for about an hour, people started wanting to help us, but they didn't speak English, and so they were trying to get us to go with them, and we're like, probably not a good idea. And so we wind up getting in a cab with somebody that we didn't know, that didn't speak English, that didn't really know where we wanted to go, and we took a tour of that city. But the problem that we had was we could look the website of the hotel up, but it was in English. Guess what? Nobody there reads English. And that was quite the experience. I'll just tell you, if you've never shown up in a country that you don't speak the language expecting someone to be there and they're not there, and you realize all the problem that had, and one day the Lord's going to lead me to preach an evangelistic sermon, and y'all going to hear this again, but imagine, you think it's bad in China and nobody there to meet you, wait till you step into eternity and there's nobody there waiting to meet you. But that was a full experience. So if you look at the next picture, you'll see here, this was out the place that we wound up staying. Someone finally found us, the missionary that finally found us about 4 hours later said that was the worst day of his missionary career, when he couldn't find us in that city of 8 or 9 million people. But if you look at the next picture, this is the actual place that we stayed. And there was a lady there, her and her family own a seafood business, and we were staying in an apartment on the top floor, or right at the very top of that building. That's where we actually stayed, and we were able to walk to the place that we were doing the training. One of the neatest things that I saw, being a former landscaping person, there was a tree there that they said, we went up in the mountains, and they said that tree was 600 years old. You should have seen that thing. That thing was almost worth a trip going over there for, just to see it. And I didn't put their little temple where they worship the thing in there. I gave you a picture without all that. But that was one of the neatest things that I saw. This next little video, this is just a very brief. We were up on a mountain, and this is a very brief, very, very brief little video of just how amazingly beautiful it is when you get up in those mountains. And we were probably about an hour from this next little video. If you'll go ahead and play this one. This was out the apartment there, and every one of those buildings that you see there are apartment buildings. And each one of those buildings have thousands of people that live in them. And it is very difficult to explain to someone from Rankin County how many people there were in these cities. I mean, these things were amazing. And almost everybody, this is what you faced every time you tried to get out in the street. I mean, every time you went out into the street, that's what you faced. And what's funny is, those things are not supposed to even be on the street. But you cannot, if those people were all in cars, it would be impossible to get around. It would just be complete and total gridlock. And then this was a video crossing the street. This wasn't at rush hour. That was our translator, by the way. Oh, he just said there's 800,000 scooters in that city. And we're just waiting to cross the street. I can narrate. We don't need sound. And basically, I was telling him that there was more people crossing that street than attend our church. Well, anyway, there were a lot of cars, and there were a lot of people right there. This is our actual teaching. This was the second week. If you can tell, all the curtains are closed. There was a camera on the door. And basically what we did was, in both cities, we taught the same material. We taught it at one place, and then we went to the other city and did the same teaching again. And when you're actually in there all day with that little bitty room with all those people, that's just one little sliver, but you're in there with all of those people, and then there's that camera on the door. By the time you actually get out of there, like 3 days of that was about all I could stand. I really had a strong desire to be outside and to not be with all those, all that secrecy. And if you look at this next picture, these are the last two. And the reason I wanted to show you that, this is called the English Corner. And you can't see, there's a lady there. Her name is Rose. And they're sitting around, and you can't tell, but they've all got their Bibles out. And they're in a public place, and they're doing a Bible study. And you think, why in the world would you make a picture of that? In China, it is illegal to share the gospel with anyone under the age of 18. And the fact that there are people who say, I don't care, and I'm going to do it anyway. And it was really phenomenal to be with them. And then the video, do you have the sound on it, Tim? We'll see. This was the last thing before we left. I don't know if you can hear it. Tim, you can stop it. You can stop it. Hey, I just wanted you to hear that first. They're English. Yeah, they're English. But the fact that they would do that in a public place is pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. And when we were with them, I was struck by the fact that they've made the decision that they're going to serve the Lord. I mean, that's the decision that they've made. And there are countless millions of people in those cities. And you get over there, and statistically, they say that by 2030, China will have more Christians than any other nation. Well, it's not because they're all Christian. It's because there's so many of them. There are just people on top of people on top of people in those cities. And they all are going to spend eternity somewhere. When I was thinking about a verse that the Lord wanted me to share today, I just want to read to you John chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you." You know, one of the things that when I prayed about the vision that the Lord had for Grace Baptist Church and the different things, that was one of the verses that the Lord gave me. And all of us has to realize that we've all been sent. We all have a ministry, we all have a mission, and we all have things to do. And before we go into these examples, the one thing that I wished that we could agree on is this: I will not tell the Lord no. You know how many times, like China, just like that word would come up, and people don't say, well, I'm going to pray about that, or I'm going to do this. You know what they say? I ain't doing that. And it's like, why not? I don't want to. And when we do that, we're closing God completely out. Now, you should not go to China unless God calls you to China. I'll tell you that for sure. You shouldn't go do anything unless God has called you. But if God is not calling you to go somewhere, then you need to understand there's something wrong with your Christianity. Right? Y'all were supposed to say amen. I didn't sense a lot of agreement there. Right? Thank you, Bob. Anyway, we want to go. And that's part of what the deacons, that card. Did y'all get your card about the 17th and about the projects and the needs that we're going to try to meet? Y'all were supposed to, yeah, I see some head shaking. Yes, good. Listen, if you know somebody that has a need, please let us help them. If you have a need, please let us help you. Because when Jesus said, go, he didn't say to China. He didn't say to Haiti. He just said, go. And if you know of a person that has a need that we as a church can meet, we're going to meet as many of those needs as we can on the 17th. And so please, please sign up. As a church, one of the things that I hope that we can do, Jimmy and I have talked about this as chairman of the deacons, he and I have talked about this, hopefully we can do a one-day mission trip this summer and find a church that we as a church can do to be a blessing to somebody else. Because we want these children that grow up in Grace Baptist Church, we want them to grow up thinking, I'm supposed to go. And if they grow up thinking, I'm supposed to go, and they think that because of what Jesus said, but then as the example that we've set for them, then we'll have a tremendous opportunity. And one of the things that I've asked many of you to read the book, and I know some of you have, I'm sure not everybody has, but the book is called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. And when you read that book, the one thing that those churches have in common is all of their ministry turned inward. And when it turned inward, it just becomes a structure that's going to collapse on itself. And what we're going to do is we're going to be people that's going to go. We're going to get out there and we're going to go because the Lord told us to. And we're going to do what Jesus told us to do. Now, we're going to close out today. And Ryan, we'll do one verse of an invitation. Just in case someone needs to make a public decision, something you need to share with us. And what I want to ask you to do is, I'm not putting you on the clock, but I know that today is not a message that lends itself to a decision. And so we're going to do one verse of an invitation. Like I said, if you need to make a decision, you do that. But I just want to say it like this. And boy, I have the hardest time. People say you're supposed to communicate. And so I try like to communicate with people, and then my family says, but you can't say it like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna give y'all a quick example. I needed a load of dirt, and so I called this guy and I told him I need a load of dirt. But have you ever, anybody in here ever bought a load of topsoil and it was filled with roots? Yeah, me and Smokey, Charles, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I thought that me and this guy should have an understanding. And I just thought the best thing for me to do was communicate with him. And so I said to him, just so we won't have a misunderstanding, if you bring a load of dirt out here and it's got roots in it and you dump it out, it's probably going to take you 3 days to shovel it back on your truck, but you ain't leaving it here. I thought that was just like a good way to just have an understanding. I don't want roots in my yard. And every time it rains, you got to pick up roots, right, Smokey? And then you pick them up and it rains, you got to pick up roots. So he wouldn't bring me the dirt. So then I had to finally call him back and say, listen, I'm not the devil. I just don't want to have a misunderstanding. And then he brought me the dirt, and it didn't have roots in it. And I gave him his money, and he was happy, and I was happy. And Joe came and spread it out for me, and I was really happy. So what I'm about to say, if you are a member of Grace Baptist Church, we're going to do what Jesus said, and we're going to go. Right? And if you don't want to go, then you need to ask the Lord, why would he tell you to do something, and then you feel like you don't have to do it? Right? Right? And so we got to do what Jesus said. And I'm not trying to tell you, you know, it's going to take you 3 days to shove it back on the truck, but we got to do what Jesus said. And the world is not dying, but for any other reason, then we won't do what Jesus said. still got to do what Jesus said. So if you are a member of Grace Baptist Church now, but if you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, we're going to expect you to go. And if you're not going to go, then, right? Because Jesus told us what to do, and we got to do what Jesus said. Right? Right? Right. Amen. Father God, we love you, and God, we have got to do what Jesus said. And Lord, so many times we don't do what Jesus said, and then we wonder what's the problem. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go into this invitation, Lord, just remind us, Lord, all we got to do is have faith. All we got to do is just take you at your word, do what you said, and just leave the results to you. And God, I pray that as you just touch our heart, remind us of this truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ryan, will you lead us in a verse, please? Would you stand and respond to us? And if you need to respond, we'll stay here. We're not in any hurry.
Sing this together.
This is my desire.
Before we go, and that is that today at 3 o'clock we're going to be gathering for prayer. And if you need us to pray for you, you come. It's going to be a group of people, and we're going to be praying. But the main thing that our church has got to do is we've got to be committed to prayer, and that's what we're going to be doing at 3 o'clock. And now I want to give one quick word of apology about a bunch of people have asked me, was I staying for spaghetti today, including Angel. And to every one of them, I said, no, I've got plans. Well, Bob came up to me during the welcome and asked me. I said, no, I'm not saying I got plans. Then I found out my plans had changed. So for all of you that I told that Jordan and I weren't staying for spaghetti, see y'all in a minute.
Well, then I don't guess I need to say anything because you're coming. And so anyway, I was just going to let everybody know that we are having the spaghetti fundraiser. It is going to be over there in the fellowship hall. We have plenty, so please just come by and enjoy the fellowship. We would appreciate it.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for today, God. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity we've had to come and to worship you and just to gather together and hear about the work you're doing around the world, Lord. We just pray for your blessings in those ministries as they continue in Haiti and in China, Lord, and in our church as we go out, Lord. We pray that you'll impress upon our hearts where it is that you are sending us, and Lord, and give us the desire to go out and to honor you through service in those areas. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the food as we go to eat it, Lord, that the money will be used for your purposes as these kids go to children's camp, God, and just be with us as we go through the rest of this week. And these things we pray in your name. Amen.
He loves.